Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Zachary Hoffman, who's the founder of SWA Leadership. He's a transformational coach and an award-winning author. Zachary, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate you having me on. Really looking forward to chatting with you today.
Yeah, you too. And I am always interested in people that take their learning and turn it into a thought leadership content like book and podcast. So I want to dive right into that and see what it is that you serve your clients with. But give us a little bit of background on your entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career.
Yeah, of course. So I would say my entrepreneurial journey kind of started back in 2012, where I made a pretty substantial decision to, I was playing college football at the time. And I always had a dream of making it to the NFL, but for me, I just kind of hit a point where I realized that that dream was, likely not going to happen. And I always knew that I wanted to have a deeper impact in my life. I wanted to impact people on a deeper level. And so that, for me, meant that I had to make a drastic, risky decision. And it's funny because at the time, I didn't know that this would be the start of my entrepreneurial journey. This decision I made to kind of leave school, go back home and kind of figure out what I was going to do from there. But looking back on it, that decision that I made led me to where I am today in terms of, writing a book, being able to travel, the world, go to Europe, become a coach, learn new languages, start a business based off this leadership book that I've written. And so for me, that decision had, a lot of deeper impacts on my life that at the time I didn't see. But, now looking back on it, really, really was a monumental moment for me.
Yeah, it's interesting how that happens where you're too close to a situation to see it right then. But if you step back just a little bit, you see how things came together. And many times that just takes, it doesn't even take a big move. Sometimes that takes just getting away from it all and taking the first Friday of the month and going to your favorite spot and unplug and just sit there and think and plan and check off, like major personal and professional goals. So I think that's a really interesting realization that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Mike, I think a lot of people in their life have these moments where they, maybe are working a job where they know they're capable of more, but for whatever reason, maybe their circumstances, maybe their family situation, they're not able to make those kind of decisions to get outside of their comfort zone. But what I've come to learn is those are the decisions, if you're, if you're willing to make them, those are the ones that are going to make you grow and cause growth. Those, that commitment to embracing discomfort. And I think that I know for a lot of people that's maybe not possible, but for those who are able to do that, I think the fruits of their labor will be seen, absolutely, because I'm sure you know as well, the only way to grow is to do things that maybe you're not sure of at first and, kind of learning by doing, I guess you could say. Those are the moments that are going to help you realize all the capabilities within.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the motivational speaker Les Brown?
I have heard, yes.
I'm sure he didn't, maybe he came up with this, but I've heard it from him and I always attribute it to him, but he has been known for saying jump and grow your wings on the way down. So it's like, don't wait until you get everything figured out, perfected, polished up. And then now here's my thing to the world, get out there and just get her done. Done is better than perfect. And then you iterate and reiterate and polish up. And I think that's really a big concept that a lot of entrepreneurs have at the very beginning. They feel like they want something perfect, but like the book Lean Startup talks about is like that MVP, that minimum viable product. Get something out there, see how the market reacts to your thing, and get some feedback, and then add this and tweak that and delete that. And I think that's a really big mindset shift that people have, right?
No, for sure. And like you just, kind of reference, if you're waiting for the perfect moment, you're never going to start because it's never going to happen. There's never going to be that perfect situation where it all kind of lines up. You're going to have to, like you said, a lot of times throw some stuff at the wall, see what sticks, get some feedback, learn from it. And, I think if a lot of people took that approach, they would realize that, you know, wow, you know, maybe, you know, the things I thought I wasn't capable of before, now I'm getting the feedback that I need in order to, you know, really take these ideas and take this mindset to the next level, whether that be, you know, getting mentors along the way, which are also very important. But I think, like you said, you know, just do it. Just do it. You know, I know that's the Nike slogan, but it really is. Just do it. And if you don't know, you'll figure it out along the way and ask for help. And that goes a long way in anyone's journey.
100%. And I think that sometimes it takes getting into action to figure out, like, okay, I'm taking that step and it's kind of going slow and it's going slow, but I'm in action. And it takes that to kind of bob and weave and tweak. So the big problem people have is when they don't take that action, then here comes analysis by paralysis. And then I'm second guessing things. Just get out there and get some things happening. So in your career, at what point was it that it hit you? You know what? I've made some mistakes, figured out how to get through them, over them. Maybe there's something that I can teach others. So what was it that inspired you to write your book?
Yeah, for me, my book was based on my experiences living in the countries that I have. I was blessed to, you know, spend 10 years in Europe, live in six different countries. And kind of what I realized is how different leadership was in terms of where I was living and how much culture played a role in leadership. And so for me, you know, just kind of navigating through those experiences, adjusting my leadership styles, oftentimes not being able to communicate with the people I was leading. Just that was the main reason behind the book, because it helped me realize that we as effective leaders need to be able to adjust our style in terms of our surroundings, in terms of our following. And we need to be able to take leadership to an individual level rather than just, you know, taking it from a generic level. And for me, I kind of use the Swiss Army knife as a way to describe how effective leaders should operate in, you know, our globalized society, where we have to be able to have multiple people skills or soft skills in order to relate to people on an individual level. And for me, that was very prominent being over in Europe. Northern European culture, for example, compared to Southern European culture, that was something I had to adjust to. And I just thought, hey, if people can, you know, embrace this intercultural competence and embrace an international environment and see it as a way to, you know, really enhance their leadership on a whole new level, then that's something that I really want to highlight. And so for me, being in that athletic role, I was a quarterback in that leadership position, I just kind of developed this concept, which, you know, I was able to turn into a book, you know, that's also mixes in a lot of my experiences abroad, personal stories and things of that nature.
So it always makes me think, you know, when I look at titles of books, you kind of look read between the lines and makes me curious. You know, when I see the book called Finding the Good Life as a SWA Leader, what is the definition of a SWA leader?
Yeah. That's a good point. So originally when I wrote the book, SWA stood for Swiss Army Leadership. That was just kind of the acronym for that. But as I went on, I kind of developed it more. And so if you go through it, it's the S is for sensible. So what I mean by sensible is understanding your surroundings, being aware of each person and observing them and listening to them, being sensible. The W is worldwide. This is a worldwide leadership concept, I believe. In our society, we have to do a better job of embracing our differences and embracing, you know, this intercultural mixing. So that's for worldwide. The A is for adaptable. I feel like that's important in any role. We have to be able to adapt. We have to be able to understand that, hey, sometimes our way, the way we brought up and the way we were raised, isn't always the best way. So how do we adapt to our surroundings? How do we adapt to those people and those individuals, understand how they tick in order to get the best out of them and our team? And, you know, the end is leadership, you know. But I like to reference this because I believe leadership standing by itself is not enough. It's a very bland definition, and we have to focus on effective leadership. And effective leadership, you know, as a leader ourselves, we have to understand how that is defined within the environment we are. What is the most effective way to reach our followers in order to earn their respect? And so that's kind of the idea behind the title. Like I said, it was originally for Swiss Army Leadership because I use a Swiss Army knife as kind of my model for how, you know, to develop and enhance these personal skills and soft skills.
Yeah, that's really, really important. And I remember in graduate school when I went through the courses on like global marketing, there were so many things that we as Americans would think, oh yeah, we do it this way. But then you go to this country and things are done very differently. And I remember one of the aspects of like the Japanese culture is if you handed someone your business card or they handed you theirs, you know, we think, oh, thanks. And we tuck it in our pocket and keep talking. But they want it to, you want to hold it with both hands and pause and stare down at it and acknowledge, you know, thank you for that. And so it's really interesting how different cultures are different. And here you are saying leadership is different in so many different cultures and countries. And it really is not a cookie cutter, right? I mean, I think that also your athletic background ties into that. So what have you found with athletics being translated into leadership and entrepreneurism?
Yes, I believe that, you know, growing up as an athlete, a lot of athletes, it's interesting because they put, while they're playing their sport, they put literally their whole effort, you know, their hopes and dreams into this goal of being able to perform at a high level on the field. And while that's all fine and good while you're playing, a lot of athletes don't understand that, you know, it just takes one injury or someone telling you, no, you're not good enough or you're too small, you know, to totally ruin that dream for you. And then you have to, you know, kind of find a new path and new passions in life. And so what I try to get across to a lot of athletes is we already have the skills growing up in these sports, you know, being raised by these, you know, coaches. We already have the personal skills and the intellectual skills to be great entrepreneurs. However, what often lacks is that passion that we once had for our sport. So how do we refocus that passion into a business? Or how do we reshift that passion we had for our sport, that drive, into, you know, other endeavors in terms of being an entrepreneur? So for me, what I realized is a lot of the skills are already there. However, the focus has to shift in something more rather than just performing on the field to something more deeper. How do I have a deeper impact, whether that be starting leadership consulting business, whether that be starting a marketing agency, whether that being a coach? Shifting those passions from, you know, on the field into entrepreneurship is something that I feel like a lot of athletes struggle with because they spend their whole lives, you know, focusing on reaching the highest level. And a lot of times when they don't reach it, they find themselves lost. And so for me, that's something that I definitely went through personally, but something I kind of navigated through along the way. And so for me, that's something that I think a lot of athletes need to become more aware of is that, hey, your career, it's short-lived as an athlete. You know, it's short-lived and you have to find that other realm for your passion and that impact that you have. And so for me, that's kind of what I've been striving to do because it's something that I went through myself and something I see happening more and more within athletics. And I think it's a shame because, athletes have so much potential within them outside of their sport. And I tell the athletes I work with all the time, how dare you limit yourself to your ability to play a game? You have so much more potential within you rather than simply to perform with your physical body. And so for me, that's something that I didn't know before, but, you know, kind of going through the adversities I did, it kind of shifted my mindset along the way to help me realize, wow, the capabilities within me that, you know, I let stray from my mind for so long, came out, you know, during my time in Europe, going through these experiences. And I feel like that's kind of led me to where I am today in terms of starting a business, becoming an author and things of that nature. But I think a lot of people have this potential in athletics. They can learn it, use it to learn and grow. They just have to make that decision to not, you know, limit themselves to solely on the field.
You know, a few things you mentioned made me think of something like, I think too many times people want the quickest, biggest, fastest, you know, route to success, and they jump over some of the foundational things. And you probably heard this before, but, you know, in football, you think about blocking and tackling, you know, so don't get all entranced with the fancy plays, the end arounds or the whatever, whatever. learn how to be a darn good blocker and tackler, and then you can advance from there. So in our business life, you know, there might be a lot of shiny objects out there. There might be some things that you might want to do in business or entrepreneur, but do the basics super good before you start moving into something that is a little bit more fancy or flashy, because you're not going to have the substance or the foundation to support it.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with that. That's absolutely right. Because you think when you start playing a sport from, you know, the grassroots level, that's what you're working on, blocking and tackling. So when you jump into a business, how can you expect yourself to be in the NFL of your business? You know, it just doesn't work like that. The fundamentals are absolutely the key at that stage. And so you're essentially starting over in a lot of ways because, and I think you're right, a lot of athletes think, oh, I'm just going to jump into this. I'm going to, you know, this is going to work immediately. I'm going to start making the money. I'm going to start having the life I want. It's just not realistic because you're essentially becoming an infant in a business sense, and you have to work your way up to that level. So that's absolutely true, what you just said.
Yeah. And then I think that I'm looking here at the table contents for your book, and I like this title of this chapter, Humble Yourself. It's okay to follow. So talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of times leaders feel like, you know, here I am, see me roar, hear me roar, and let's go, and, you know, charging ahead. Well, what about being humble and allowing someone else on your team to take the lead and you take more of a following role? Even though that's the case, maybe they do perceive you as that, you know, ultimate leader, because you don't need to be in the spotlight all the time, but they know that you're the leader. So talk a little bit about that concept.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that, you know, I've dealt with personally, and I think a lot of people have within various leadership roles. We often get confused. You know, a lot of times titles hide the actual story behind what's really going on. Just because someone is a CEO or, you know, they have this position of power, that doesn't mean that they're not a human and they have adversities going on in their lives. And I often, you know, look back on a lot of experiences. And when I say humble yourself, I mean, you have to look within first. In order to lead others effectively, if you can't lead yourself effectively, how do you expect to be able to, you know, lead a group of people? And so for me, humbling yourself meaning is taking a deeper look at your own life, understanding where you are, and being honest with yourself and asking yourself, am I in the position mentally, number one, mentally, to be a leader of a group or a single person? Is there someone within that I can rely on who has maybe a better situation or is more stable, who has more experience than I do in this realm that I can lean on in order to learn from? And then when the time is right, to pursue that leadership role. And so I think that's such a skill. If you're able to do that, I know it's hard because, you know, ego kicks in a lot of the time. And so if you're able to humble yourself and understand that leading yourself first and foremost is the main goal rather than, you know, leading others immediately, and understand that just because someone has a title, that doesn't mean that they're, you know, shunned from the troubles and adversities that come along with in life. And so for me, that's something I've dealt with a lot throughout my time in Europe. And, you know, it took a lot of time because sometimes we feel like we need to hide our flaws. We need to hide what's going on for the betterment of the group. And that's a fine line because, you know, what point are you doing damage to yourself? So for me, that's what that's all about. Understand that there are people who have experience and there are people who are out there who are willing to help you and are capable, and you can learn from them. And so for me, that's what that's all about.
Perfect. I love it. Love it. Love it. Agree with all of that. So let's wrap this up, Zachary, with what's the best way someone can reach out, learn about how to pick up a copy of your book, and then learn more about SWA leadership.
Sure. So right now, I would think if you're on Instagram, that's the easiest way. You can find me at ZachHoff12. So that's at ZachHoff12. And in the link of my profile, you'll be able to find the book, the Amazon link there. You can also go to my website, that's swallleadership.oneuniverse.com. And on there, you'll be able to find my blog, a link to my book, ebook, and email address to reach out to me. And if you want, you can find me on LinkedIn too, under Zachary Hoffman.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Zach. It was a real pleasure to have you on.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.